Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Power Pros Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Hoffman, otherwise known as The Hoff, and with me is my friend and colleague, Chris Slate.
Hello!
And we are here to talk Nintendo.
That's right. Every week we're going to talk about the latest Nintendo news and topics, and we're going to talk about new games, old games. We're going to dive deep into big discussions about stuff, pretty much anything in the world of Nintendo.
In case you're unfamiliar with us or are somehow, you know, listening to this podcast completely by accident, I thought we'd kick things off with a brief explanation of who we are and what we're doing here. I started working on Nintendo Power magazine back in 2005, and I was there until the magazine shut down several years later. Before that, I've always been a big Nintendo fan. You know, I've been playing since the NES days. I had it when I was in middle school, not to give my age away too much. But I've been playing the Nintendo stuff forever, pretty much. I've also written for Play Magazine, Gamers Republic, At Gamer, and I even did a stint on the other side as a fan favorite game localization company, Working Designs. What about you?
I was editor-in-chief of Nintendo Power for 5 years near the end of its run. Before that, for a lot longer, actually, I was editor-in-chief of PSM, Independent PlayStation Magazine.
Oh, my God. Traitor.
The other side. And before that, I was EIC of Game Players Magazine, an old multi-format gaming magazine that got started back in the late 80s. I, too, have been gaming with Nintendo as my favorite company. They make my favorite systems ever since the NES.
We are playing with power.
That's right.
So we've got a lot to talk about, so let's just dive into the latest news. Specifically, we just had a Nintendo Direct sort of pop up out of nowhere just yesterday morning, and that was full of all kinds of cool stuff. Maybe not the big, super-duper Nintendo Direct surprises that sometimes we get, but for previously unannounced digital event, it wasn't too shabby. For me, what I was most excited about was the new Chibi-Robo game, which is called Chibi-Robo Ziplash. And I have a bit of a history with Chibi-Robo. I was there at Nintendo on the marketing team, which is what Nintendo Power was. It was part of the marketing group when the first Chibi-Robo was announced. And with Nintendo Power, I had to find a way to be like, hey, here's this unknown game. Let's try to get out there in front of people and show them why it's neat and cool. So I go way back with Chibi-Robo because of that. And I'm very excited to see that the series is back and it's on 3DS. And it's something a little bit more attainable now. Something that makes it a little, it's easier to grasp. And that is that now it is a side-scrolling platformer. And instead of plugging himself into the wall to be able to power up and clean stuff with a toothbrush, he uses his plug to smash bad guys and to grapple and to pull objects down and use it for all kinds of cool stuff. And it looks like a pretty nifty little platformer. And better yet, there's even going to be a Chibi-Robo amiibo that comes bundled with it. So I am pretty stoked. What do you think about that one?
I'm pretty excited. To be honest, Chibi-Robo is one of the only Nintendo franchises that I've somehow missed ever since the, I think the first game was on GameCube, the one you talked
yes.
about before.
Yep.
But for some reason, this one, I guess because it's a side-scroller and a bit of a platformer, has got me more interested because that's a classic genre that I mm-hmm. love. And as addicted as I am to amiibo, bundling an amiibo with it makes means I'm going to get it for sure, and makes me even more excited about it.
It's a really cool looking amiibo too. I love the fact that as an amiibo, it's basically like 1-to-1 scale of a real Chibi-Robo.
Yeah, and it's also just like if you're looking at it purely from a collector's point of view, it's got to be one of the most obscure characters or obscure amiibos. It doesn't. And even some of the characters in Smash Brothers, like Mr. Game & Watch, still are very, very well known because of the Smash Brothers series. Mm-hmm. I think there probably won't be too many people that know much about the history of the Chibi-Robo franchise. So I feel like that's an amiibo you could easily miss. So for that reason alone, that makes it a game and an amiibo that I've got to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, the game is coming out in October, and hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more of it soon. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Coming much sooner than that, though, is the new Dr. Mario, which is called Dr. Mario Miracle Cure. And it's got, you know, your traditional Dr. Mario, it's got your Dr. Luigi, and it's got your Virus Buster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot in that one. I mean, they continue to release, you know, that game, you know, every so often on different platforms. And it seems like they maybe tweak it or add a little bit to it each time. Mm-hmm. And this does seem like it's the ultimate version. It's funny to start off with these two games because this is another one of the rare Nintendo franchises that I haven't been a super big fan of. But this one did look pretty cool. And, you know, I like everything that they've added. So it's on my radar.
Yeah, one of the additions is there's now new power-ups that can do, you know, crazy little things to the viruses you're busting. You know, it can eliminate an entire row or an entire column. It can be a bomb that just blows up a whole bunch of viruses that are there. And there's more stuff for the multiplayer modes. Speaking of which, I'm kind of wondering if this has a four-player versus mode, because my favorite Dr. Mario is probably the N64 version that had the four-player versus in it. So if this is in the new version as well, then it definitely will be the ultimate Dr. Mario game.
Mm. I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes out on June 11th. So I'm certainly planning to download that one. Also, in the Nintendo Direct, there was some footage of Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon shown. You know, I haven't ever really gotten into that series.
Me neither, really.
You know, I've you know, spent some quality time with the regular Pokemon games, but the Mystery Dungeon, not so much. It's cool that, you know, there are apparently 720 Pokemon in it, which is pretty mind-boggling.
I'll be honest. I mean, I played through Pokemon Diamond, and I fooled around with a couple of the really early Game Boy versions. But that is... it's hard to really get into Pokemon now if you haven't kind of grown with it, which I haven't for some reason. Mm-hmm. Just, it's kind of daunting. There's just so many Pokemon now, and there's kind of so much to learn and do. And I guess if I were younger, I wouldn't care so much. I'd just dive in and soak it up like a sponge. But now I think it's a little intimidating. I guess that's the point of a game like Mystery Dungeon. You don't have to necessarily know the whole lore of Pokemon or have played the main line entries in the series. You can just enjoy this one. So maybe I'll check it out at some point, but some of the other stuff we're about to get to is more my cup of tea, I think.
Now, is one of those games you're excited about, Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games?
Nah.
No, I mean, harsh.
I mean, those games are cool, but I feel, and for as many game compilations go, I think they're done about as well as you could expect. But I think anytime you try to design, like, you know, a dozen different sports games or mini games of any kind to go into one package, you're splitting the amount of time you would normally spend on, like, say, a Mario Golf or a Mario Tennis between, you know, a dozen different sports. Mm-hmm. So each one feels like they're just good enough, but they never really, like, none of them really excel for me. And that's not to, obviously, I haven't played this new game. And I thought the footage that we saw in the Direct looked as good as anything I've seen in the series so far. But, you know, a collection of traditionally mediocre events isn't something that gets me really excited, to be honest.
Hmm. Well, I'm certainly interested in it, especially the Wii U version, because, you know, with the Wii versions of the Mario and Sonic Olympic games, it was, you know, a whole lot of waggle and stuff going on. So if this, you know, is more traditional because, you know, of the controller of Wii U, then this might be something that I get into a little bit more. It's also interesting to hear that they're going to have exclusive events in the 3DS version and the Wii U version. I think the Wii U version has rugby. Okay, I'm not really excited about that. I was lying.
It kind of looks like American football.
Yeah. And then the 3DS has golf, which, you know, that could be cool. Like you said, it's probably not going to be as good as a full-fledged Mario Golf game, but it sounds promising. And, yeah, I'll be interested in seeing what new characters they introduce and stuff like that. They showed Nabbit. And, you know, there's lots of potential for interesting stuff from both the Sonic and the Mario universes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this game is still a little ways off. You know, the 2016 Olympics are more than a year away. I think traditionally they bring it out like the winter before, don't they? So this will probably be out by...
Yeah, it usually comes out a good bit before, I think.
Probably be out by the holidays, I would guess. And another game that I don't think they have given a date for is Project Treasure for Wii U, which we heard about a while ago, and now we are getting to see it in action, and it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many games now where you can play co-op in kind of a first-person shooter style, but to have a co-op Tomb Raider essentially is kind of what it seems to be. I mean, you're teaming up to go into temples and find treasure and outwit traps and things like that. That was really interesting. I mean, from the little bit we've seen so far, it isn't necessarily, you know, blowing me away to the effect that I feel like it's going to be, you know, a milestone game, but it could be a sleeper kind of surprise on us. Because I do like the concept. And I like any game where you're playing online, but it's cooperative. I think that's a lot of fun.
One thing I find interesting about it is that it definitely doesn't look like most Wii U games. It looks older. It looks more adult, which is kind of weird for, you know, a four-player online Wii U game. I'm not sure if that's going to be to its benefit or not, but I'm certainly intrigued by it. It does not look like everything else out there. It doesn't look like it's trying to be super kiddie. So I'm intrigued. I'm interested to see what they do with that.
Yeah, unfortunately, the older-looking games don't have a great sales track record on Wii U yet, even the really, really great ones like the Platinum titles. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, at the end of the day, as a player, first and foremost, I don't care so much about what sells. I care about if I want to play it or not. So if it's fun, then welcome aboard. You know, the more good games, the merrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a far cry from the first Namco Bandai game we got, which was Tank, 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 and it tanked. See what I did there? But speaking of, you know, games that are aimed at the younger set, we have LBX, Little Battlers Experience, which was also announced, and that is a robot battling game for 3DS.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I guess this is obviously based off of an anime, a property out of Japan, and I believe the developer's Level 5, could be wrong. So it's another one of those kind of juggernaut, you know, Pokemon slash Yo-Kai Watch slash things potentially. I thought it was a little weird that it seems so much like Nintendo's old Custom Robo that when you see it, you think, well, why isn't this Custom Robo? Or why didn't they just make Custom Robo? But you know, if you liked Custom Robo, the good news is this looks to have some very similar features. You build your own robots out of like thousands of different parts and combinations and, you know, battle them. So I felt like the footage that they showed, the battling itself looked a little plain or to be specific, the environments looked really barren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wasn't exactly blown away.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just, you know, a few seconds worth of footage. So, you know, obviously we'll hold any more severe judgments than that until we actually get a better representation of the game.
Yeah, usually something that's, you know, based on, you know, a kid's property that I don't know anything about, you know, it really doesn't hook my interest too much. So I'll definitely take a wait and see approach on this one. On the other hand, I am definitely looking forward to Bravely Second End Layer, which is scheduled for next year.
Hmm. Yeah, that's something that I'm really glad. Like the kind of surprising success of the first Bravely Default, I was really happy to see, even though it's not really my kind of genre. I played the demo of that game, and I didn't get into it much more than that. But it still warms my heart to see such a classic kind of Japanese gaming type of game have that kind of success in today's, you know, market.
Yeah, we aren't seeing that many traditional Japanese RPGs these days. And, you know, I also played the demo. I picked up the, you know, the collector's edition of the first Bravely Default. And I have barely only played. I've just had, you know, too many other games to play. But, you know, I really liked what I have played. And I'm certainly going to get the sequel when it comes out next year. So, yeah, I mean, for out of nowhere, Nintendo Direct, that's, you know, some pretty decent stuff, especially for 3DS. You know, 3DS, you know, I've been looking at the list. It's like there hasn't been that much stuff coming out. What do they got going on? So it's good to see. It's good to see that there is stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about this Direct is, like you said earlier, there weren't any really big, you know, announcements or games in this Direct. But obviously, we know why that is. It's because E3 is just around the corner, and they're saving all of the really big surprises and reveals and big games for that show. Mm-hmm. So I think I really felt like this Direct was really about maybe giving some attention to some of the smaller things that would have got lost in the shuffle at E3.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it was a great little appetizer, and it was great to know that kind of we've got this long list of stuff to look forward to that isn't even kind of the tier that Nintendo's really going to be shouting about it from the mountaintops once we get to the show.
That's certainly what it seems like, yeah. And there's also a bunch of stuff that was shown only in the Japanese Nintendo Direct. And, you know, I'm guessing that means most of it's not going to be coming out over here, or, you know, maybe some of it is holding off on announcement. Was there anything on the Japanese Nintendo Direct that caught your attention?
I only read about that one. I didn't watch that one yet. Didn't they mention something about Yoshi's Woolly World?
They did. They showed some Yoshi's Woolly World. They showed a Yoshi with a Famicom motif that was pretty cool looking.
Hopefully we've got an NES version of that in the U.S. Game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I wish they would have a U.S. release date announced. You know, it's coming out in Europe and Japan pretty darn soon, but you know, us in the U.S. are just left scratching our heads.
I wonder if, you know, when you talk about the release schedule and specific dates for the key titles, I wonder if that stuff was really just upended when they had to delay The Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. And they're still trying to figure out where all the pieces are going to fall.
It's true, but, you know, that happened in the other territories as well.
Yeah.
In Europe and Japan, they're also not getting Zelda, so you think that would have affected them also. So, I don't know. It's really, really strange.
Yeah.
But back to that Nintendo Direct, aside from that, there were several things that caught my eye. Definitely Dragon Quest VIII is looking really good. I never got to play that one when it came out on PS2, so I would have loved the opportunity to play it on 3DS. Even if Dragon Quest isn't, you know, my favorite RPG franchise, I would love to see it come over here. And I know there's a lot of people that would as well. So hopefully Nintendo or Square Enix will decide to bring it out here because, you know, it's really looking impressive. They showed some more Fire Emblem as well.
Can't wait for that game.
Yeah, and there's some cool new features that are going on. I like the fact that it looks like you're going to be able to, you know, build up your base in various ways. Kind of reminds me of the old Suikoden titles. Suikoden is one of my favorite RPG series, so seeing something that's just vaguely reminiscent of that is pretty darn cool, I thought. And then we've got a whole bunch of Monster Hunter stuff. Again, that's a franchise I haven't, you know, gotten into as much as I would have liked to, but, you know, Monster Hunter Cross, or, you know, Monster Hunter X, whatever you want to call it, that was looking really, really impressive. I mean, I wasn't even sure what system it was on. I mean, maybe it's still running on, you know, dev hardware, and that's why it looks so darn good. But, man, it looked pretty amazing for a 3DS game. And the stuff they showed seemed to be mostly single-player. So if they've managed to make a really good single-player mode, that could really, you know, tilt things in that franchise's favor as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I don't do a lot of online gaming, or rather I kind of, when I do, it's usually with a Mario Kart title or lately with Splatoon, which we'll get to in a little bit. But, you know, it's just tough for me sometimes to find the time. So, but it is a lot easier for me to slip on and play, you know, a single player game.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be one of the reasons why I haven't, you know, been able to really enjoy Monster Hunter to the extent that a lot of people have. So if they kind of fill in that last kind of missing component, I'll have to give it another look.
One of the other notable things from the Japanese Direct was an update on Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. And that's already been announced for the U.S. We know we're going to get it, I think, in late summer, early fall. But you know, one thing I hadn't realized is that it was going to be released as a retail product, and it was going to be, you know, maybe not quite full price. It's not like the usual 5,500 yen, but it's going to be 4,000 yen and, you know, sold as a retail product, and that surprised me.
Yeah, it seems like it would be an eShop title, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It seems like, oh, it's just a fraction of what you get in a full-fledged, full-priced game, but No, they're surprising me and doing it a different way. I think it comes bundled with a pack of the amiibo cards that you need to get your full experience with it.
That's why it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think trying to take something that was eShop only and then send people to stores might be a little harder than to get them to buy something at the stores, get the cards in your hand right when you get the game, and then maybe you're more willing to come back to the store to get more cards. Maybe it's easier to talk retailers into stocking the cards if they're actually stocking the game.
And for that matter, you know, a lot of the 3DS systems don't have the capability of using Amiibo. They don't have NFC functionality, so they have to go out and buy that adapter. Mm. So, of course, there's a bundle that has that with it as well, and I expect they'll do the same thing with North America.
I'm mildly excited for that game because I have a little girl at home who loves that series. And so I kind of get to experience it through her eyes, even though I really enjoyed Animal Crossing, but I kind of burned out on it after playing, you know, essentially amounts to the same game like 3 or 4 times in a row. But that could be really cool. And you know, a lot of people, and my daughter is one of them, loves more than anything just building the houses. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they if they take the best part or rather what a lot of people would consider to be the most fun part of that series, maybe embellish it a bit more, add more to it, and then tack on the whole kind of fun card functionality, it could be something pretty cool.
Well, I will be interested in hearing what your daughter thinks.
We'll have to bring her on.
Special guest review. So another big thing that was in, not the Japanese, but the U.S. Nintendo Direct, was a cool update about Splatoon. There is a new weapon, there's a new map, and oh, hey, the game just came out a couple days ago. So you've been playing that a whole bunch, right?
A ton. I adore that game. I mean, I'm not usually, like I said earlier, I'm not usually the guy to play a lot of stuff online. I kind of pick and choose what I'm really going to invest my time in. And I wasn't sure about this game when we first saw it at E3. I thought it looked really cool. I loved the character design. I loved the whole style and the vibe and the music and everything. It's just got so much personality. And from the start, I was in love with that aspect of the game. But I didn't know, you know, if it's primarily online, I don't know how much time I'm going to have to spend on it or mm-hmm. if it's going to be, you know, I'm not usually a first-person shooter guy. So,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so if I go online, am I just going to get destroyed by people? But I was happy to find out, you know, that there's a really significant single-player component to it, the single-player missions, which basically feel like, I mean, this is a little bit of a stretch, but it's a little bit of like a Mario Galaxy kind of structure to the levels. And the levels they don't feel like cheap or quickly tacked on. They mm-hmm. feel like they really put a lot of thought and care into them.
What do you mean they're like Mario Galaxy?
Well, just, you know, they're split into lots of different chunks, just like Mario Galaxy levels are split into lots of different planets.
Oh, yeah, and you're sort of just launching from chunk to chunk as yeah. you proceed through the stages.
You do a little bit of traversal in this game is you know, as big a part as shooting, pretty mm-hmm. much, especially when you turn into a squid and you're diving in the
Yeah, you lay down the ink and then you climb right through it, swim yeah. right through it, I should say.
So it's...
Sometimes you're climbing.
So it feels like you're platforming a little bit and then you're shooting from bit to bit and you're fighting bad guys, you're solving kind of simple puzzles, and you fight bosses every few levels. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's great. And so the single player really got me into it. And then I kind of dared to play online and really found out that this is the kind of game, kind of like Mario Kart, where, yeah, the really, really skilled players who have a lot of experience and good skills and think about strategy and outfit their characters with you know, strategic weapons and articles of clothing that have good power-ups, they're going to do better on the whole. And the people who, you know, aren't that great at it, you know, obviously are going to lose more than they win. But everybody's still going to feel – there's always a chance, just like in Mario Kart, that the best person might not win or they might come mm-hmm. in second or third. And there's always a chance that somebody who's maybe not as good will have a lucky game. And even if they lose, they're probably still going to have some minor successes along the way. Mm-hmm. So I found that when I'm playing, my team might lose, but my character personally might still rank high on that team. Mm-hmm. Or I might maybe I do terrible, but I still manage to, like, you know, kill a couple guys while I was playing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little things you can take from it. So in that kind of Mario Kart way, and I do feel like it's more of a Nintendo-y, Mario Kart-y experience than a traditional online multiplayer shooter, mm-hmm. I've really come to enjoy it. I'm getting all the amiibos anyway. So mm-hmm. the fact that they've locked, the extra amiibo challenges behind, you know, kind of the amiibo paywall mm-hmm. doesn't bother me personally. I can understand if it bothered other people. But I've been enjoying those too. So, you know,
cool.
The last couple nights over that first weekend, I've just been really skipping from mode to mode and buying stuff and getting better and learning how to play. I've gotten to the point now where I start to see, you know, amiibo and have kind of like little muscle reflexes for playing Splatoon as I'm falling asleep. So that probably is a sign that I really enjoy the game and possibly I'm becoming too obsessed with it.
So definitely recommended then.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mean, absolutely recommended. I understand the main criticism I've seen against the game, and I think Metacritic has got like an 81 average score, so mm-hmm. it's not like people aren't digging it. But the people, you know, when they kind of do couch, you know, their reviews, they say, well, you know, it didn't launch with a ton of content. It only mm-hmm. had a couple of maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of weirded me out when I saw that you couldn't even choose which map you were going to pick. I mean, not that I'm into multiplayer shooters at all, but if I were, I would like to be able to choose what map I'm going to fight on.
Yeah, I understand that. And I would say for me personally, when I play it, it doesn't matter because, I don't know, the maps, there's definitely variety to them. And I imagine as I get more experience with the game, I'll learn them enough to really be able to apply specific strategies to each map. But the experience is so kind of the same no matter which one you're playing on. Even in the Global Test Fire, the early kind of demo run through they mm-hmm. did a couple weekends back,
right,
when I got to play it for an hour. Even then, when we were playing, I got stuck on the same level like 7-8 times in a row. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was still fun. So I don't know. I can't look at it from the perspective of someone who plays a lot of these types of games or a lot of first-person shooters. And, you know, if you stack it feature for feature against them, maybe what it launched with does seem really, small as far as the amount of content. But, you know, it did take only just one weekend before they unlocked rank mode and they added another map and they added another weapon, the mm-hmm, old right. NES Zapper gun. And so I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that, look, they probably launched this game a little earlier than they would have liked to have because they didn't have a lot else to bring out. And also it just makes sense that you get Splatoon out, or, you know, in time for summer.
Mm-hmm. It does feel very summery.
It does. And that the content they're going to be, the DLC they're going to be providing throughout the summer, and a lot of it I think is free. The stuff that's come out so far has mm-hmm. been, is really just kind of filling in the gaps of stuff that would have been on the disc if they'd taken, you know, the usual amount of time before mm-hmm. releasing it. But having said that, I mean, it's still early on and I haven't even come close to finishing all the content that is on it already. So I'm super happy now, and I guess in a week, you know, maybe we'll check back and see if it's starting to wear thin on me yet. But for right now, I just couldn't be happier with the game. It's really surprising to me because it's a new IP from Nintendo. We mm-hmm. obviously don't get that very much.
That's true. We've been waiting for one for a while now.
Yeah, and it's just this fully realized thing that has that Nintendo polish to it, where from the menus to the load screens to every mode to the music, they've really kind of created this whole new, not just world and characters, but this whole new kind of vibe. And I can really see Splatoon characters sticking around in kind of the Nintendo pantheon mm-hmm, for years mm-hmm. to come. Even if they were never to do another game again, which would surprise me, I still feel like we'll fondly remember Splatoon and that experience in a very specific way.
Let me put you on the spot. If you were doing a review in Nintendo Power, even though you haven't finished it yet, what score would you give it?
Well, I guess I'd probably side with the Metacritic score and say roughly an 8. But this is where, you know, this is why I'm glad actually that I'm not reviewing games these days, because it was just starting to become this way when we were on Nintendo Power, and it's only gone more in this direction since, where you don't know at day one what the ultimate final experience of this game is going to be. When you add in all the eventual DLC, when you actually get some time to spend playing online with people in a real-world situation where you can fairly and accurately judge what the online experience is going to be, it's the score you would give a game right at launch is almost always going to be different than what you'd give it once you've really experienced the full, you know, value the game's going to ultimately give you. So I think it could very well, you know, go up from there.
All right. Yeah, I haven't picked it up myself, but, I've played a little bit. I've enjoyed what I played. And, I will think about it. I might end up buying it after all.
I'll talk you into it yet.
Now, I do already have the Splatoon Amiibo because I am kind of hooked on Amiibo. And, in fact, you know, this past Friday was a day that I have dubbed Amiibo-geddon. All the new Smash stuff, Silver Mario, Splatoon. Man, I was out there waiting in lines, fighting tooth and nail to get all my Amiibo. That was gnarly.
It only gets worse, doesn't it? I mean, I love Amiibo. And you know, when you finally do get it, you feel this sense of relief and accomplishment that makes you appreciate them even more. But But it is, I spend more time stressing out about getting the next wave of Amiibo than I do enjoying the one I just got.
Yeah, for sure, But you are just as obsessive as me, and you have almost all of the new ones, right?
You've got, yeah, you've got one on me. I don't have Greninja yet.
Well, I don't have the Splatoon ones yet. They are in the mail. So when I say I bought them, doesn't mean I actually have them in my possession. But yeah, I got Greninja, I got Jigglypuff, I got Ness. Those were all the exclusives. And then, you know, I had to import to get Robin and Lucina. Hmm. In fact, I just did a whole import bundle from Japan. So that's how I got Charizard and Pac-Man and Wario as well. And yeah, it cost me a little bit more than I wanted to. In fact, maybe that's why I haven't been able to afford Splatoon yet. Maybe I spent all my money on Amiibo. I'm not at liberty to say.
It's worth it, though, isn't it? It stinks to say this, and Nintendo really should fix this problem, whoever's causing it, whatever it is, it needs to be addressed. But you know, I'd probably at this point pay like an extra $5, even $10 to just not have to worry, to just not have to stand in line. Like if Nintendo had like a Amiibo Buyers Club, and you paid a premium, but you got,
it's like you're reading my blog.
Well, you're great minds think alike, but if there was just some way they could make it easy and maybe a little bit more, add some fun to it, then yeah, I'd go in for that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to avoid, waiting in line for an hour at GameStop just to place a pre-order. And yeah, I was going to say then another hour while they get their system online so you can actually place. We're lining up for pre-orders now, mm-hmm. Hoff.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that technically I already had all of my Amiibo covered. I had placed orders online, so I had a Jigglypuff. I actually managed to get my order in for Jigglypuff during that, 1 or 2 minute window, and it was up for pre-order several weeks ago. And, I had Ness taken care of. I placed an order for a Greninja from Japan, sort of last minute. So I was sort of all covered, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go out and wait in the line A because, what if my orders get lost? And just everyone's so paranoid about, are they going to get this stuff? Are they going to get this stuff?
Canceled, because how many times have from Toys R Us to, I'm trying to think of who else it happened with, but it happened with more than one retailer where you place a pre-order and then they say, actually, we didn't have enough. We shouldn't have taken this pre-order. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my previous Toys R Us pre-order for the Pokemon character got canceled. So yeah, it's just nuts. Although I have to say, it was kind of fun being out there, talking to other Amiibo fanatics, and I was able to get a lot of street passes. So, it wasn't all bad.
I'm too competitive. Like I'm standing in line kind of talking to people, but at the same time, I'm kind of looking at them like, I might have to kill you. Or, if your friend shows up and tries to stand in line with you, I might have to kill him.
That's right. He's going down. Which of the new Amiibo is your favorite?
Right now, I would probably say Inkling Girl and Inkling Boy.
Hmm.
Maybe when I'm not so high on Splatoon and you ask me a few weeks from now, I might say Pac-Man, because I thought going into this wave all along, just the idea that Nintendo is making a toy out of Pac-Man still blows my 8-year-old mind.
It is pretty cool. I have not had a chance to line up Mario, Pac-Man, Sonic, and Mega Man yet, but when I do, that's going to be pretty awesome.
Dude, when I get a freaking toy of Duck Hunt Dog and Mr. Game & Watch, then I'll know that pretty much anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. My favorite from the wave, though, happens to be Lucina. There's a reason that she is so popular. I mean, people don't really know because they can't actually get in hand to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is super detailed. The face looks really good. A lot of these, more human-looking characters, the faces aren't great, but they really did a great job with her. So I think she is my favorite.
Yeah, I think her pose, and obviously they're all posed the same way that the in-game models are in Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. Her pose isn't the most exciting. But I think everything you said, the craftsmanship on this figure is great. And in fact, they've come a long way since the first wave. And I haven't seen an Amiibo figure yet that I thought was bad, but I can see what some people complained about. And I think they just keep getting better. But for me, Lucina's another favorite just because I love the character so much in Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah, the Robin one is really good too. But in my game, I played with a female Robin. So every time I look at him, I'm like, wait, who's this character? This isn't what I remember from the game. But as far as just the toy goes, Robin is really cool as well.
It is a shame that you don't get some of those alternates. Maybe if maybe if they run out of, you know, Smash characters, or when they run out of Smash characters, they'll bring out like, you know, Girl Villager or Female Robin.
Yeah, I can't wait to pick up that exclusive only at, you know, some random Exxon station in Montana. It'd be fantastic. So another big thing that happened this weekend was the Nintendo World Championships. They held the qualifying...
The
qualifying rounds. Not the whole thing, but that's yet to come. But the qualifying rounds were held at, I think, 8 Best Buys around the country. And, you know, the winners, I guess, are going to go on to compete as we get closer to E3. So were you there competing?
No, you know, I thought, you know, give everybody else a chance, you know.
It's really not fair to have the former pros at Nintendo Power out there competing in, I believe it was Mario 3 and Dr. Mario, Mario Mania running wild there.
I would have gotten destroyed in Dr. Mario. Mario 3, I probably would have done well. And what'd you say, the original Mario?
The original Super Mario.
As much as I played that game as a kid and as much as I consider it one of my all-time favorite games, whenever I pick it up these days, I just slide it right off into pits. So I would have got destroyed in that too. But yeah, I mean, I think on the one hand, it's kind of a mess start to what's supposed to be world championships is like 8 Best Buys in one country. But on the other hand, we know what this is. This isn't really about finding out who is the best Nintendo champion in the world. This is just about having a fun little event at E3. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if it's anything like the Smash event was the Smash tournament at last year's show, then they'll have a lot of fun with it. It'll be quite a spectacle. And, you know, whatever we got to do just to get people, you know, there so that they can compete for real, mm-hmm. even if it's not the world's most thrilling early rounds.
Now, we already know that The Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, is going to be one of the games that's featured in the next round. Are there any other classic games that you want to see implemented?
Well, as much as, you know, I started really becoming a hardcore video gamer with the original NES. So as much as that is kind of, you know, my biggest nostalgia system, mm-hmm. I feel like it shouldn't all be NES. I mean, it'd be great if we saw some stuff from the SNES era, from the N64 era, and maybe even newer. So I think I'd like to see a mix. But we've talked about this before, Hoff, and I think you know exactly what should be the finals game.
Yes, it's pretty obvious. Mario Maker.
That'll be a huge missed opportunity if they don't slip that in.
That'd be foolish.
I mean, custom levels made, you know, they could be made by Miyamoto himself just for the championships that then later, once the game's out, Nintendo could release these levels and people could try them at home. It's just so easy.
But what could be better than having your finals being brand new, original, never before played Super Mario levels?
Mm-hmm.
That it seems like, you know, an obvious no-brainer to me. So it's I really hope they do it.
It's also a nice nod to the to perhaps Nintendo's most famous tournament, which was you know, the climax of that movie The Wizard.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They should just, if they do this, just pretend it's Super Mario Brothers 4.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to look forward to that and see. So Nintendo, if you're listening, please make that happen.
Yeah. It better not be like, get a high score on Clue Clue Land.
Yeah, hopefully we won't have to worry about that. There have been a couple other interesting things happening in the world of Nintendo recently. We found out that Koji Igarashi's game, Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, which is currently on Kickstarter, is actually coming to Wii U.
That's cool. Although this game doesn't come out until when, 2017?
Yeah, it's 2 years from now, so who knows if the Wii U is even going to be a viable platform at that point.
I know. I mean, I can't imagine it, to be honest. I mean, they'll, you know, you'll plug your Wii U in, it will still work, you'll be able to play that game. But, you know, if the NX is out by then, hopefully they would, well, I guess they can't just make a version appear. They'd have to start working on it around about now. And I'm sure Nintendo isn't sharing development tools for that system yet.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I don't know. As much as I would like to have it on a Nintendo platform, I'm probably going to – I've backed it, but I'm probably going to get the PS4 version.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn right now also. I mean, we've got a long time to go. We'll see. But the other thing is that, you know, Intercreates is doing the PS4 and Xbox version. And then Armature Studio is doing the Wii U version. So it's not really the core creative team. I mean, it's not that Armature Studio is any slouches. It's former Retro guys. It's people that worked on the Metroid Prime series. So they have a good pedigree. And they're planning to implement exclusive Wii U features. They're going to do Miiverse stuff, of course. They're going to do, you know, like Map on the gamepad, which is, you know, pretty obvious.
Ooh, I like Map on the gamepad.
Off-screen play. So, you know, I'll wait and see. It's very, very interesting. But it's really cool that it's just happening at all.
You know what? You may have made it a little harder for me to go with that PS4 version. I mean, my heart would be with the Wii U version, but I guess there's that little nagging feeling that if this wasn't originally planned for Wii U, that they might take more advantage of the extra power of the PS4, and maybe it'd be the superior version. It might look a little bit better or something like that. But, you know, all things being equal, I would definitely go for the Miiverse features and things like that on the Wii U.
So have you heard about the new Mega Man television show that's supposed to be happening?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me all about it because you're the world's biggest Mega Man fan.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it yet. I mean, it's going to be an animated series, and it's going to be coming sometime in the future, but they haven't said a whole lot about it. I mean, presumably it's classic Mega Man, but...
Will he look like Mega Man in this Mega Man show?
That is a great question. I'm going to guess probably...
Because he didn't look like anything like Mega Man in Captain N or on any of the boxes that his his games used back in the day.
But the old Ruby Spears TV show, it looked pretty much like Mega Man, like, or at least a dude in a Mega Man suit.
Oh.
It looked a little bit too Americanized for my tastes. But, you know, at least he had a blue outfit and he looked like a super fighting robot, more or less. They could have done a lot worse. That show was not very good, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen either. And
any sign that the Blue Bomber is still alive and kicking is good.
Exactly. That's just what I was about to say. You know, we aren't getting any original games, but we're still getting comic books. We're getting a TV show. So, you know, I will not be holding my breath for highest quality, but who knows? I mean, it's, you know, it's a good sign. It's promising. It's better than totally forgetting about him.
If the cartoon was a hit, then, you know, maybe they make a game. Maybe that's a sign to Capcom that people do care about this character and is worth, you know, actually doing something with.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they'll, you know, want to have a game coming out around the same time.
Hmm.
We shall see. Speaking of classic franchises, I just saw earlier today that they've announced a new Harvest Moon game for Wii U.
Hmm.
It is the first time that the series is coming out on Wii U, and strangely enough, it is Wii U, PC, and mobile that the game is coming out on.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a weird mix, and they have promised that it's going to be very retro. The game is called Harvest Moon: Seeds of Memories, and you know, I'm not entirely sure what to expect. It sounds like it's going to be a total throwback to, like, you know, maybe 16-bit Harvest Moon. Is this a franchise you've ever played very much?
Not really. I mean, I dipped my toe in it a little bit, and at least the version I played, and I suspect this is true of the series, it gets very repetitive. And I'm sure there's a lot of fun things to dig out of it, but it's just for whatever reason or another, I never stuck with it that long. But it's cool to see it back, and, you know, it makes sense that it would come out for Wii U, even if it's not coming out for some of the other platforms, because that franchise has a long history with Nintendo fans.
And that's
Nintendo
where it fans, started.
Yep, and Nintendo fans have really done right by it and have stuck by it. And I think that's the kind of game that, you know, the user base that the Wii U does have, okay, it doesn't have, they haven't sold, you know, the most systems, and they haven't, they don't have the biggest audience. But the audience they do have are very passionate about a particular type of gaming, you know, Nintendo gaming. And I think Harvest Moon would appeal to those fans, even if some other things, good games even, like Wonderful 101, didn't quite catch on.
Well, we're probably going to be seeing it at E3. In fact, I believe they promised we'll be seeing it at E3, so we'll learn more about it then.
Cool.
And we have talked about a whole lot of news already.
There was a lot to get through.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about the rumor of NX being powered by Android. P.S. It's a lie. It wasn't true. They said it was false. So we're not going to talk about that. But what we are going to do is we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll discuss our big topic for the week, which is the current state of Nintendo. Welcome back. So our topic right now is the current state of Nintendo. They've kind of had a rough few years. Really, it all started going downhill when Nintendo Power went away. that I don't think, you know, that was a coincidence. I think if Nintendo Power had been around, they would have been doing much, much better. But somehow they finally managed to turn it around recently. You know, their financials are back up. Things are starting to look good again, you know, even without Nintendo Power. But they've had an interesting, you know, first half of 2015. You know, what do you think? How are they doing? Are they on the right track? Have they been treating their fans right? What is the current state of Nintendo?
Yeah, so we're almost at the six-month mark, or we just pretty much have reached it. And it's weird to look back and remember, oh, yeah, this game did come out this year. Because if you just ask me, if I don't think about it too much, I feel like, well, I guess to be honest, it's a pretty typical first year for Nintendo, or probably for most, any console manufacturers' first half years. Mm-hmm. You know, they backload the games, so you don't expect to have like a handful of AAA titles, mm-hmm. In the first couple quarters. Having said that, you know, when you don't have a lot of third party titles to fall back on, and Nintendo mm-hmm. puts out more quality games than anybody. But when they're the only people putting stuff out, you have some big lulls.
And on Wii U, I believe there have only been like maybe three first-party titles so far at retail on Wii U this year.
Yeah, and when they put something out, it tends to be pretty good. But even the good games, not everyone is interested in every kind of genre. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse comes out, I enjoyed it. I got it. But maybe it's a game I wouldn't normally jump at if I had more choices. Mm-hmm. So I guess to Nintendo's credit, they're doing what they can by filling in the gaps with everything from eShop releases to virtual console titles mm-hmm. to DLC to a lot of the stuff that I'm sure we'll talk about. But, at the end of the day, you want your meat and potatoes. You want to feel like you got a substantial, big, new game more frequently than we've been getting them. I'd say that, maybe the first one that's really hit for me personally this year is Splatoon, and only just came out.
Just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Wii U has been fairly lackluster. I haven't picked up, any of those games myself. I'd love to give Kirby a spin, but, I haven't bought it yet. Mario Party 10, I totally passed on. Splatoon, it's working its way into my heart a little bit. The coolest thing on Wii U for me has been the latest round of Mario Kart DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart was great when it came out, a whole more than a year ago now. It was great when they brought the DLC last year. And then we got, eight more tracks and more costumes and all that good stuff.
Probably the best use of DLC ever is Mario Kart 8.
I'm inclined to agree with you. And, you get so much for not having to spend a lot of extra dough.
I know. They could have charged double, and it still would have been a pretty good deal. I mean, and the fact that I felt like Mario Kart 8 or Mario Kart series is probably my favorite racing series of all time. And I already thought that this Mario Kart 8 was my favorite installment.
Mm-hmm.
And it had as much content and more as every other game. Okay, so it has a stinky, battle mode. But personally, I haven't played battle mode much since the original Super Nintendo Mario Kart. So that didn't bother me too much. But I loved having all the extra tracks and all the extra characters. And then they just keep adding on to it and adding on to it more and more and more. And now it's just, I turn the game on sometimes and I just look at the sheer amount of content in it. And it blows me away every time when I think about how much stuff is in that game.
Yeah, that has definitely been a high point for Wii U. Not really enough to say that Wii U has had a spectacular 2015 so far, but definitely one of the highlights for me.
And I think kind of the cooler thing about the DLC to me is Nintendo realizing, what did we always complain about as hardcore Nintendo, longtime hardcore Nintendo fans on the Wii? It felt like Nintendo was that parent that maybe was overlooking the older child or the middle child, and just kind of they were interested in the new kids, the kids they were bringing in through the expanding the gaming population, as mm-hmm. they like to say, the people who wanted to play who wanted to dance with their Wii Remote or the Wii Fit people, that crowd.
Right. And now it seems like they're really, really trying to keep their most enthusiastic fans happy. They're trying to, you know, add longer legs to their biggest series.
Right. And that really helps fill in the gaps because, okay, like we just said, there weren't a lot of big new games for Wii U. But you give me, like, basically what's the equivalent of another half of a Mario Kart game.
Mm-hmm.
And you start adding some content to Smash Brothers. It keeps those
Smash
titles...
Smash Brothers and Hyrule Warriors as well.
Right. It keeps those titles viable longer. And, you know, a lot of games, you know, especially great first-party Nintendo games, I want to spend more time playing them, or rather I'm willing to. But at a certain point, you've kind of done everything there is to do, and you feel like, you know, it's time to move on. But these games keep you coming back, keep kind of revitalizing my interest in them, and I kind of appreciate the way they're doling out content in that way because it makes me get more long-term enjoyment out of these titles that we do have.
Mm-hmm. Now, meanwhile, over on 3DS, we've had some pretty epic titles come out, but the ones that have actually, you know, hooked me the most are games I've already played.
Mm.
You know, we got a fantastic 3D remake of The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask back in February. We got a port of Xenoblade Chronicles, of all things, with, you know, a year ago, who could have imagined that that would be getting ported to 3DS?
It barely came out here at all on Wii.
That's right. That's right. But those were the ones that that got me most excited. The other stuff, things like, you know, Codename Steam, I wasn't quite able to get into that. The demo really didn't wow me.
I liked that game, and I started out really enjoying it more than I thought I would, because when it debuted at E3, I didn't care for the art style. It was a tough game to wrap your head around. They spent way too much time kind of over-explaining it, which somehow hurt it, I think. But when I finally played it, I dug it. I really dug the demo. I got the game. I was all into it. But it's one of those games where I still maintain it's a really good game, but you reach a certain point, and for me it was maybe 50% of the way through, maybe a little mm-hmm. bit more, and you just kind of feel like you've had enough for now. And you put it down, and you don't necessarily, at least to this point, I haven't felt a huge impulse to go back and finish it. I plan to at some point. And I'd still recommend it, but I think that's kind of indicative of many of the Nintendo titles we've had over this first half of the year, is that, yeah, I'm glad to have this, and it was worth taking a chance on maybe, but it's not really filling the need just yet.
And you also recently picked up Puzzle & Dragons as well, right?
I did, and that was a nice surprise for me, because when I first heard about it, it just seemed gross. I was like, keep your mobile games off my Nintendo platforms, you know, especially at a time where I already kind of feel defensive, you know, whenever Nintendo's investors are like, you know, why don't you just make Mario on iPhones or whatever?
And 99 cents to jump higher.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I played it. I tried the demo, first of all, and that sold me. So lesson to Nintendo, you should really do more with demos, because when you do, it tends to work really well. And I've been enjoying it. It's not like the best thing ever. It is what it is. But I've enjoyed it way more than I thought it would. I mean, just the fact that I don't hate its existence is a huge is a huge improvement over my initial reaction.
Now, have you been playing Fossil Fighters Frontier at all?
Nope. Nothing against that series. I tried the first game, and you know, it was what it was, but it just didn't hook me for whatever reason. I think it definitely skews young. If I don't mean to offend any fans of the franchise out there. I mean, there's a lot of games I just haven't given a fair shake to because, you know, I'd spent so much time playing other games.
Fair enough. Is there anything on 3DS that has really impressed you, besides from the stuff we've talked
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I mentioned that Puzzle & Dragons was a big surprise, but an even better surprise, maybe not bigger surprise, because like I said, I expected to hate that other game, but a better surprise was Box Boy, that game from HAL. The quirky little side scroller where you place boxes to get across pits,
the black and white one with the unique aesthetic.
It's like a side scrolling puzzle game, essentially. Mm-hmm. I love that game. I had it with me on a vacation, actually, and I started to, even more so than enjoying the vacation, I looked forward to getting back to the hotel every night so that as the kids went to bed, I could just sit there kind of in the dark and play Box Boy for hours and hours. It's super addictive, and it's like $5?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
And, you know, it's got the retro kind of Game Boy-y looking graphics. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend that game enough, especially for the price. It's just a gem.
So do you think they've been stronger with Wii U or 3DS so far this year?
Well, I'll say, you know, you touched on my favorite 3DS game so far this year was Majora's Mask. Mm-hmm. I put a ton of time into that. Yeah, I mean, it's so great. And the improvements they made to it really, really made it even better. So in a year where so far both systems have kind of just had little bitty things to kind of get excited about, I guess the main kind of flagship titles for each would be Splatoon on Wii U and Majora's Mask on 3DS.
It's probably fair to say.
That's a tough one. And especially since I'm in the middle of my Splatoon love fest right now, I kind of have this pull to side with that. You know, maybe Wii U only because the Mario Kart DLC and keeping the excitement around Smash. I feel like there's been more noise around the Wii U. There's been more to talk about than the 3DS, which seems to have been forgotten as Nintendo has tried to kind of, save, you know, what many viewed as a sinking ship for Wii U.
It's true.
So right now, Nintendo's focus is a little bit more on Wii U, and I think because of that, I would side with Wii U.
But I guess there's, you know, more to what's been going on in the world of Nintendo than just, you know, the marquee titles that we've talked about that have been, you know, slowly trickling in the first half of the year. Like, you know, one of the coolest things for me was that on Wii U, now we're getting downloadable Wii titles. You know, we got, you know, a revival of Punch-Out. We've got a chance to get Metroid Prime Trilogy, you know, which is, you know, so hard to, you know, buy at retail. Now you can just download it on your Wii U. And, you know, that was, you know, a nice shot in the arm for that system.
Yeah, that's nice. Personally, I have all those games, the original on disc anyway. And I just haven't been able to invest much into Virtual Console or even a lot of the eShop stuff until Nintendo finally gets that unified account system made. I feel like if I'm going to spend a lot of money on digital stuff that's ultimately going to be trapped on this platform, and if I am able to migrate it, I'm still going to have to like pay an extra buck or two to activate it on the next system, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It's just a huge question mark for me, and that makes me uneasy about investing too heavily in that kind of stuff.
Oh, my one complaint about having Wii games on Wii U is they just take up so much space. You know, I got the deluxe system. It has as much internal memory as you can get, but I'm going to try to avoid getting a hard drive if I can, so I'm not dealing those things too heavily. You know, maybe, you know, if we got something that, you know, never made out of Japan or something like that, they'd be like, okay, well, that's the straw that forces me to get a hard drive. Yeah, that's sort of the difficult part about wanting to download these Wii titles.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Nintendo addresses both the storage problem for its digital content and the universal account problem with their next platform.
And while you know, downloadable Wii titles was a cool thing for Wii U, you know, over on 3DS, we have new downloadable Street Pass content, which is pretty neat, if I may say so. You know, I'm a big Street Pass fan. I'm Street Passing all the time. Like I said, I literally was lining up for Amiibo partially so I could Street Pass people.
That's so, a good time to do it.
Yes. And man, how come there haven't been any puzzles in a while? We need more puzzles.
Yeah. I just finished off my last puzzle yesterday, so I guess I'm ready for more. As long as we don't get, you know, two more. I don't like it when they, for a game that isn't like a major AAA game, they'll release like two or three puzzles. Or the Pikmin animation had like three.
Yeah, like why did we get the Majora's Mask puzzle or something like that? Why did we get the Splatoon puzzle?
Yeah.
You know, if they really wanted to push Project Steam, you know, send out a puzzle for that sucker.
We're lucky though in that you and I, you know, we work together, so we're able to Street Pass every day. Mm-hmm. And there are several people in the office who Street Pass as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true.
I'd hate to think about, you know, your normal person who maybe they're not able to easily Street Pass with anyone. So a lot of this stuff doesn't get, you know, used a lot. But for me, you know, since we are able to Street Pass, I have really enjoyed the zombie game and the fishing game more than I thought I would. I haven't stuck with it every day as much as you have, but I do keep coming back to it. And the one thing that they added that I thought was a little bit was the VIP room.
Yeah.
I like having it. It's you know, the features that it add, there's something to them. But it should have been, those features should have just been free. updates. You can't really charge for that.
It is the most useless $5 I've ever spent. I've never felt as much like I just took $5 and set it on fire, then flushed the ashes down the toilet like I have when I got that thing. It just seems totally pointless.
Yeah.
But
$5 can get you Boxy Boy, or it can get you
Box Boy. Box Boy.
I keep thinking of the old Game Boy game, Boxy Boy. But it can get you Box Boy, or it can get you...
If it was Boxer Boy, that would be something. Just run around with nothing but your boxers on.
Boxing people. It could have... it can get you Box Boy, or it could get you, being able to track people's birthdays with red curtains behind you.
Yeah.
In the Mii Plaza.
But the fishing. I'm totally digging the fishing.
Yeah.
And fishing is not a game that I'm ever really been into before.
It seems to have, not that I know anything about real fishing, but it seems to have very, very little to do with real fishing,
which is
probably why I enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could spend so much time getting frustrated at the fishing in Ocarina of Time. I mean, that's supposed to be, one of the highlights of the Zelda series. And, man, it could just be so frustrating for me. It's like, how do you hook the stinking fish to try to get that, the scale or the heart or whatever it is that you're trying to get in that game. It can be so frustrating. But this, it's nice and easy as long as you have some slight semblance of timing. It's pretty easy to hook and reel in a fish.
Yeah, yeah. So all that stuff together was pretty cool. I mean, it was a nice little surprise to get, extra Mii Plaza functionality, especially if you street pass as much as you and I do. And like you said, you add that together with the DLC for the Wii U stuff. And it's just more of that, how are they trying to keep us engaged and happy and active while they're struggling to kind of put out major releases for both platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beyond just, what's going on with their current systems, and current games, there've been some pretty major announcements. There's been the announcement that they're going mobile.
Yeah. And, we'll still have to see how that turns out, but I'm liking what I'm hearing.
Yeah, the fact that they're only doing, a handful of tiles, it sounds like. There's like, what was it, they're doing
I think it was like five or something year or two.
Yeah, something like that. So it sounds like they're not going to just be pumping out crap in a constant stream like they could be doing.
And their strategy, as they've said, is also, let's not build the one game that's going to nickel and dime people to death. Mm-hmm. They're going to instead build titles that they hope will sell just because they're fun and will have, be able to enjoy good sales for a long time just off of word of mouth and people, appreciating the value in those titles. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of the nastiness of mobile gaming slipping in there somewhere. There'll probably still be, the stuff you don't like to see as far as the payment system for those games. But it does seem like Nintendo will be more honorable than most. And the rumor has, I don't know if this was ever confirmed, that the guy behind the behind Mario Kart, and I think his name is Kono.
Yes.
Mario Kart, yeah. The 3DS, he kind of oversaw the design of that. And Nintendogs is the one kind of overlooking these titles, which
that's what they're saying.
Is great. And if Nintendo's going to make games, then they should be games that are good quality Nintendo games no matter what platform they appear on. I'm really glad this wasn't a case of they're just going to hand their classic characters over to whoever wants to turn a quick buck.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from being really, really against them ever doing anything on mobile to hearing everything they had to say, to hearing kind of how carefully they're approaching this, to now thinking, okay, I'm cautiously optimistic about this. This could be pretty cool. And, the way they're doing it seems to make a lot of business sense as well for them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of good business sense, another major part of what's given them more success in the business world is the Amiibos. They've sold more than 10 million freaking Amiibos. And, we already talked about Amiibogeddon and how you can't buy these things and how it's completely freaking nuts. And, they can't figure out distribution to save their lives. And, of those 10 million, I believe 6 million are Diddy's. And they only made 27 little Macs and they were all distributed to, the Outback or something like that. But you got to give them props that people love buying these things. And if we hadn't had Amiibo this year, I think it would have been a much less interesting time for Nintendo fans. That's for sure.
again, just like with the DLC, they're filling the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding ways to get more from their current audience. And, you know, that's great. The Amiibos are quality collectibles. You know, I always wanted to really get into collecting something. You know, I collect games. But in addition to that, there's a lot of cool merchandise that's out there. But it's almost just too much of it. And I don't have enough room at home to display a lot of it. And, you know, I don't know that my wife wants me bringing home an endless supply of that stuff. So I was always kind of looking for something just like this, something that's a very finite collection, even though there's quite a few of them and you know, I probably spend more money on them than I should. Yeah, that's something you can say, just this one set. It's like all of the Nintendo's most classic characters in one place. Eventually I'll find some cool way to display them on like a nice IKEA shelf or something. Then that's great. And, you know, even if they didn't do anything in the games, I'd still be collecting them. And the fact that they the fact that they do unlock stuff in games is just a bonus for me. I know for a lot of people, if they don't want to get all the Amiibo or can't find them or just don't want to pay that cash, it's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand at that point why you might be upset if, for example, you got Splatoon and a huge part of the content in that game is locked behind Amiibos that you either can't afford or don't want to buy or can't find in stores even if you do want them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very tricky balance. And it's, you know, a lot of people complain that, well, this isn't like Skylanders. You don't really do that much with the Amiibo. They always just do little things. But then again, if they did things that are much more significant and they become kind of required, then people who don't want them are going to be upset. So it's a very thin line they have to walk there.
So taking all that stuff into account, the Wii U games we've seen, the 3DS stuff we've seen, the DLC, the Amiibo. I mean, talking for myself personally, I would probably give Nintendo so far this year a B-. And it would probably be a lot less if it weren't for Amiibo. If it weren't for Amiibo in the equation, I would say probably C or C+. So what about you?
You know, that sounds about right. And again, I'm judging this as the first part, the first half of the year.
Right.
Obviously, second half of the year, we'll expect a lot more out of. First half of the year, you don't usually get your big, you know, year-ender AAA titles anyway. So, yeah, I'll go with B-. I think that's fair.
All right. Well, we have wrapped that up. But before we end this episode of the podcast, I would like to present the listeners with a dramatic reading. This time, it will be the back of the box from the NES classic, Ghosts and Goblins. The beautiful princess is kidnapped. Her lover, the knight in shining armor, armed with 5 different weapons to fight the enemy, sets out to rescue the beautiful princess. The knight, aided by your skill, must pass through 7 different guarded gates, fighting and destroying demons, dragons, giants, and zombies. There are hidden characters too, some friends, some foes. Ghosts and Goblins is exciting, challenging you and the knight to rescue the princess amid great danger, escaping Hades, land of the enemies. Zombies waiting in the cemetery. The dragon at the 3rd gate. The demon general Ikkaku waiting at the 1st gate. Weapons in the enemy's pot. Giants guarding the area. Watch for flames that shoot up from the sea of fire.
Thanks for that, Toph. That was very dramatic.
Anytime.
That's it for this week. Until next time, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com. Or you can follow us at Power Pros Pod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. If you have something you'd like to say, I mean, this is our first episode, so tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like to see us talk about. Just shoot us an email at powerpros@gmail.com. And, you know, if you did like the podcast, please do us a favor and rate it on iTunes. We're just getting started, so it'd really help us find an audience.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Before we go, let me give a shout-out to my friend and former Nintendo Power co-worker, Andy Myers, a.k.a. Stenobot, for letting us use his chiptune song, Shark Flower, from the album 13 Orphans, for the Power Pros theme song. You can get it at stenobot.com. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And our pal, Donkey Kong. We'll see you next time.